Please join me in the prayer of illumination. In the stories of Scripture, loving God, tears are wiped away, shattered hearts are mended, and fears are replaced by joy. May those be our stories as well, today and each tomorrow. Amen. Our gospel reading today comes from John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. The tomb is empty. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He went back to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. She wept, and as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. Herein is good news. Thanks be to God.
An empty tomb. That's what the disciples, the men and women who had faithfully followed Jesus for the 3 years of his ministry, found on that Sunday morning almost 2,000 years ago. An empty tomb. According to the account in the Gospel of John, Mary Magdalene arrived first and discovered the stone used to block the entrance of the tomb had been rolled away. That was strange enough, since it would have been a stone too large, as you can see, for any one person to move. Then she peeked in, with a bit of trepidation, I imagine, and saw that Jesus' body was gone. Immediately, Mary ran back to tell Simon Peter and the others. An empty tomb. That's what Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, that's the one they discovered after their foot race to the tomb. Peter lost that race, but was the first to actually enter the tomb. An empty tomb. We are told that the linens that would have been wound around Jesus' body were still there, as well as the burial cloth that covered his head. But just so we get the point that this is a very intentional and purpose-filled moment, we are told that the linens have been neatly folded up, and the cloth covering his head has been placed separately. An empty tomb. This is no joke. This is no setup by the disciples to make it look as if Jesus has risen from the dead. This is no arrangement by the Romans to play games with Jesus' disciples. Something amazing, miraculous, intentional, and astounding has happened here. That is what the story is telling us. An empty tomb. It is quite easy to be caught up and held in place by this empty tomb. What is intriguing to me in the telling of this story in the Gospel of John is how everyday and emotionless it seems. The conversation is flat. They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Notice that even the disciples who have been told that death could not hold Jesus, didn't immediately assume that resurrection had happened. They concluded at first that someone had moved or stolen the body. Perhaps the story is told with so little emotion because there was no emotion left to be had on that day. 2 days and two nights of tears, of anguish over their friend, teacher, and master who had been so cruelly killed by the Romans. 2 days and two nights of shock and disbelief. By this third morning, maybe there was just no emotion left. Or maybe, just maybe, by the time that John records this story decades later, the story was so integrated into the lives of the followers of Jesus that they didn't really need to tell it at all. They knew what it meant for their lives. And so they give just a brief, almost emotionless account. Yet, an empty tomb. Place yourselves with the disciples standing there that morning. How would you have reacted? I think that I too would have made the practical assumptions first. Somebody must have moved the body. Somebody's stolen the body. Someone's playing a cruel trick. Or maybe in our overwhelming grief, we forgot to roll the stone in front of the tomb. Or maybe, distraught as I am just imagining things. I better go get the other disciples to help me make sense of this. Facing an empty tomb, what would you say? What would you do? How would you respond? Disbelief? Tears? Fear? Anger? Joy? Belief? The Gospel of John reports that the disciple who raised Peter to the tomb believed. But I don't know what I would have done. standing at the tomb that morning, an empty tomb which should have held the body of their beloved Jesus, how would one begin to make sense of that? But that's just the thing. We keep trying to make sense of that, sense of an empty tomb. We stand there staring in with the disciples, trying to figure out what happened. We want to make sense of it all. And now in the 20th and 21st centuries, we've tried to make scientific sense of it, because that is how we approach things in our day and age. So we stand there looking at the empty tomb and offering solutions. Well, solution A, could some of the disciples have taken the body and hid it away to make sure that everyone believed in resurrection? Or solution B, did the Romans put the body somewhere so that the disciples couldn't steal it? However, you'd think once the rumors started about Jesus' resurrection that the Romans would have produced the body to show that this Jewish rebel and upstart had really died. Solution C, was it a spiritual resurrection, since we know that bodies don't really disappear? When the disciples saw Jesus after his death and in the upper room and on the road to Emmaus, that was a spiritual resurrection, wasn't it? Or solution D, it was a physical resurrection. It has to be. The body isn't there, so you must believe in physical resurrection, right? Yet, I would suggest that while we are looking at the empty tomb and trying to make sense of how it happened and give an explanation, scientific or otherwise, we are missing the real story, the real happenings. We are so fixated on giving a plausible scientific reckoning for the empty tomb that we are putting our energy in the wrong place. We need to turn around and stop worrying about that empty tomb and look out into the world, because that is where resurrection is happening. That is where Jesus already is ahead of us. This is not a scientific story and was never meant to be one. This is a story of faith and wonder. This is a story that is meant to capture our hearts and inspire our minds. That's what happened to those first disciples. Mary turned from the empty tomb and heard a voice speaking her name, and she knew immediately that it was Jesus. After a brief exchange, she ran and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." One by one, the disciples experienced the presence of the risen Jesus. And one by one, they were energized and inspired to share the good news with others. In an old play entitled The Trial of Jesus, written by John Masefield, the centurion, one of the soldiers who had been tasked with overseeing the crucifixion of Jesus, comes back to report to the governor Pilate. In the play, after hearing the report, Pilate's wife asks the centurion, "Do you think that Jesus is dead?" The centurion replies, "No, my lady. He's been let loose in the world where no one can stop his truth." He's been let loose in the world where no one can stop his truth. That is the point of this day, this Easter Sunday on which we celebrate. We are not meant to be standing, peering into the empty tomb and trying to figure out exactly how it could have happened. And whether we believe in a spiritual or physical resurrection, we are meant to turn around, as Mary did, and discover that Jesus has been let loose in the world where no one can stop his truth. If the disciples had spent their time trying to sort out a plausible explanation for the empty tomb, we wouldn't be here today. But they didn't. They told the story and then got on with what was really important, sharing the good news with all the energy and love that had been stirred within them because of the resurrection experience. Our world needs good news. We need the story of resurrection more than ever. Climate change, threat of nuclear war, mass extinction of animals, terrorist acts, mass shootings. The list of what is terrifying and distressing in this world could go on and on. Yet we are not people of despair. As followers of Jesus, we are people of hope. We are people who believe in and are ready to work for and embrace resurrection. Like generations of Christians before us, we believe that God's love will triumph even in the face of death. God's love will overcome even when life is overwhelming and all seems lost. God's love will win out even in the midst of tragedy and disaster. God's love will restore even the most disheartened people in the most disheartening of times. An empty tomb. Yes, but it is time for Christians to stop trying to make sense of the empty tomb. It is time for us to follow the example of those first disciples and shift our focus to sharing the good news that hope and possibility have been set loose in this world because of Jesus. It is time for us to speak the transforming truth that Jesus has set free in this world. The truth that love is stronger than hatred and fear. It is time for us to live boldly what Jesus taught about loving neighbors and strangers and even enemies. We have a risen Christ, a risen Lord. We don't have to explain it with some sort of scientific proof. The proof is in our lives. The proof has already been set loose in the world. And so I say to you, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Hallelujah. Amen.